To the Church of God in Dunloring, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I'd like to focus on three areas from John's Gospel: peace, forgiveness, and who I finally refer to as the twin brothers, doubt and fear, and how they impact our lives. Peace. How do you define peace? We describe peace in different contexts. I mean, there's peace among nations. And there's peace between people, like our neighbors. And then there's this inner peace, the kind of peace that Jesus instills in us. Now, peace among nations is defined by Webster as the normal, non-warring condition of a nation, group of nations, or the world. Do we not wish that the normal condition of our relations with the world would be peace? I hope so. That would be really nice. Peace between people is described as a state of mutual harmony between people or groups, especially personal relations like your neighbors. And further, it's the normal freedom from civil commotion and violence of a community, a state of public order and security. And again, don't we wish the norm was freedom from violence and disorder in our communities? But in order to achieve those first two kinds of peace, international and our regular between relationships between people, it starts inside of us. It starts with our own inner peace. Inner peace is a state of being untroubled. It's a state of calmness, of contentment, of tranquility. True inner peace is beyond just not being anxious or not being worried or feeling needy. Peace is a state of being where you're really safe and secure and content and untroubled and tranquil. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not for the faint of heart, I can tell you that. Forgiveness requires of us humility and the courage to expose our vulnerabilities to others. Forgiveness is a grace granted to us, and forgiveness is a gift that Jesus is calling us and asking us to give each other. And then there's doubt and fear. I found this interesting because Thomas was a twin, and doubt and fear are also twin brothers. They are closely related to our shields of self-protection, and it's kind of difficult to evict doubt and fear once they've established them in the deep, dark places of our soul. Doubt and fear are squatters in those dark corners. John's Gospel often uses language about darkness and light. And he speaks of some people who are people of the light in the daytime, like the Samaritan woman who came to the well, and Mary, who was out in the daytime in the garden. And John also talks about people who come in the darkness, like Nicodemus, who didn't want to be seen during the daylight and came to Jesus in the darkness. And now, of course, we have the disciples who are hiding out in the dark. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, "Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours. Victory is ours through him who loved us." And it's true. Light overcomes darkness. And love overcomes fear. Each of these, peace and forgiveness and doubt and fear, are things that we know and we feel and we experience. And you know, we act based on those feelings. We act based on those experiences. And our actions have causal effects in the real world. So act out of a spirit of peace and forgiveness. And if you are full of doubt and fear, put yourself in check until you can be grounded in peace. Now, Jesus came into a locked room that his followers thought no one could enter. He appeared in an instant right there in their midst. Jesus appeared in a room full of doubting, fearful people who were lost, confused, uncertain. Now, this followed a week where they were riding an emotional roller coaster. They went from the high of Palm Sunday, riding into Jerusalem in triumph, to the plunge to the rock bottom and crushing reality of their abandonment and denial of Jesus, and then his crucifixion. The disciples are once again shocked when Jesus transports himself into the room. I can't think of another word other than transport. Just poof, he appears there. Imagine how you'd feel if right now, boom, all of a sudden somebody appeared right in front of us. I tried to think of what that would be like, and I get those pictures of the Neanderthals, you know, experiencing fire for the first time. Or from that old Star Trek version of where Captain Kirk actually does transport into the middle of this group of primitive people, and they're like, you know, all those Star Trek faces. So I only wish I had a magician skill, frankly, that I would love to be able to do this for you right now. Just go poof, and all of a sudden the smoke would come up and somebody would appear there. Yeah, don't wait for that. If I did it, though, you'd probably be saying, how in the world did you do that? How in the world, indeed? The creator of the world appeared to the disciples. And just as God in the story of creation breathed life into humanity, Jesus breathed into the disciples new life and peace. The peace of Jesus, the breath of the Holy Spirit, came with instructions to forgive. Imagine the disciples now at this point, after being told to forgive. Seriously, after the week we just had, you want us to forgive? Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Well, this doesn't mean that if we don't forgive others, they carry the sin. It means we carry the burden. When we fail to forgive, the burden is on us. It's like we're wearing a backpack, and each time we don't forgive somebody their sins, we take this heavy rock and we stick it in the back of the backpack. And then time and time again, year after year, if we don't learn to love and to trust and to make peace, we're going to be crushed under the weight of a burden that we put there ourselves. Jesus unlocked the door to their hearts, and he opened them and he filled them with peace. God's peace, that's what enabled them to unlock the door to the room and to spread the message of peace and forgiveness to a waiting world. Here's the question: how do we achieve that peace? How do we begin to forgive, and how do we overcome our doubts and fears? Trust. I think it begins with trust. I mean, from infancy, we learn to trust the people who care for us. Or for some unfortunate, we learn how not to trust. But the bottom line is this: if love is the foundation of our lives, then trust is the framework. We have to trust Jesus, and we have to trust each other, and we have to be in tune with who we are, and we have to trust ourselves. Trust heals the wounds that doubt and fear make in us. And trust makes a path for us towards the truth. You know, the thing about Thomas is that we seem to hang all doubting about the nature of Jesus on Thomas. But remember, Mary came to the disciples and said, "Hey, Jesus is risen." And they promptly locked themselves in a room. Thomas wasn't alone in his doubt. And Thomas did not trust his fellow disciples. Thomas didn't even trust Jesus standing right in front of him. Thomas didn't even trust his own eyes. He had to touch the wounds. Thomas was overcome by fear and doubt, feeding off each other in the depth of his soul. In the end, it's not the doubting that matters. It's the believing. Because we all doubt, but not everyone believes. Becoming a believer means we need to press forward, until we can see the light and we ourselves can proclaim, "My Lord and my God." It doesn't matter how you get there. It matters that you move to get there. Thomas Merton has a prayer in which he says, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it'll end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following you does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I'll never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. And though I may seem to be lost in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Love is the foundation. Trust is the framework of our life in Christ." What would the world be like if we loved God and loved and trusted one another, and peace was the normal state of our relationships? What if we opened our hearts and our minds and our resources and shared with everyone so that the world could live as one? We only get the kind of world we dream of having if we move towards making it that way. The answer to all these questions comes from inside of us. And love and peace and forgiveness and trust, those are the building blocks. In other words, the peace of reconciliation we dream of starts within us. It is our dream. It is God's dream. And without God, it is impossible. But God is only going to make this dream turn into a reality with us and through us. I think Martin Luther King may have pondered these questions before he said, "I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." Blessed are we who see Jesus in us and through each other and believe. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.